Welcome to the Revenue Accelerators Podcast, a show featuring B2B sales and business leaders. Hosted by Excellogy founder and 19-year sales veteran with leadership experience in strategic enterprise and telecom sales, Deep Trikanod. This show uncovers strategies and techniques business leaders have used to go from zero to one and beyond. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe, rate, and review the show to help us reach more people. Revenue Accelerators is brought to you by Excellogy. We help B2B sales leaders improve sales performance by leveraging our patent-pending data-driven sales coaching systems. Find us at www.excellogy.com. Enjoy today's episode.
Everyone, thank you guys for joining yet another episode of Revenue Accelerators. Today, I'm uber excited to have with me Eric Konovalov, founder of The Goal Guide. Eric, welcome. Thank you for joining the show.
Deep, thank you, my friend. So good to be here with you.
This is awesome. I've been really excited to have you on the show. Eric, what is The Goal Guide? Why did you found it? Why do you do what you do?
Man, back in 2014, I was leading a sales team, had a nice six-figure job, beautiful wife, two kids, nice house, driving a 5 Series BMW. On the outside looking in, I was like the picture perfect life.
I love it.
On Facebook, I was the most positive person you'd ever know. If you go back to those Facebook posts on Facebook, it was like motivational, grind hard type of stuff, you know, like, but on the inside, it was like, every wall was crashing in on me. I hated where I was. I did not want to be there. I remember I was driving to a job that I really hated going to, hoping I wouldn't get fired that day.
Oh man.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know where I wanted to be, but I knew where I was. I didn't want to be there.
So this is 2014.
This is 2014.
So 10 years ago or a little bit less.
And so, just by chance, I met a life coach. Mm-hmm. Her name is Julie. And as we had coffee together, the irony of that is that somebody introduced us on Facebook and said, "Hey, you two are the most positive people I know. You should get together." She was local. So we met up for coffee and I was asking her what life coaching is all about and what she does. And when she was talking to me, I'm like, "I need you. I really need what you're offering here." And the first thing we did was got clear on what it is that I want my life to look like, to look at, to look like, to wake up to, which was not a vision I ever had before. I wasn't a guy that set goals. I was just kind of wake up and figure out what I'm going to do that day. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I ended up writing a book. Because of that, I ended up starting my own company. I got the dream job I wanted. I moved to Florida to the dream state and house I wanted, all because I was able to set and achieve goals. And when I saw the impact it had on me, I started a company called The Goal Guide because I want to guide people to their goals. And a lot of us don't even know what goals we are shooting for.
100%. Yeah. We're in this rat race and wake up every morning, do the same things like Groundhog Day, right?
That sucks, man. I'm not that.
So 2014, you had this realization. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to get to a point where, you know, you're happy with what you're doing? You've kind of unlocked it, right? The secrets of like your personal happiness, I guess, your pursuit of happiness. Like, how did you figure that out?
Yeah, a lot of books, a lot of different coaches. I mean, since then, I've hired many coaches. I've joined mastermind groups. I've just surrounded myself with positive, growth-minded individuals. But what I realized is, and I don't know when I realized this, I realized that happiness is not a place to get to. It's a place to come from. Like any day, people wake up and they chase happiness, mm-hmm. but you could just wake up and decide to be happy that day. Like you could just wake up and say, my goodness, God, you let me wake up today.
Holy 100%.
Shit, I got two hands. I got two pair of legs. Yep. Listen, I'm a combat veteran. I've been to two wars. I had open heart surgery when I was 37 years old because they found three birth defects. Like there's so much I have to be grateful for, Deep. So like it's hard, but not everybody realizes that. And just waking up, we can wake up happy because we woke up. You don't need any other reason.
100%. You know, I'm coaching a young dude right now, 23 years old, and he's just bummed because he doesn't have a job and all his peers have jobs. And he's just kind of, he's like his attitude, and it's a glass half empty perspective, but you're right. It's a choice. And I told him that last night when I met with him that you wake up and you're not happy in the morning, but that's a choice you're making not to be happy in the morning. Like, you're not looking at all that you have. You're just looking at what you don't have. And you got to start from that point. He's, you know, he missed the bus. He missed a train of like, he chose like this kid is a rock star, right? Like he's in the CS master's program at USC and he's doing really well, but he's like, but I missed that train and I'm not on that train. And I was like, that's not the way to look at things. 100%. So I love what you're saying. So kind of going back to the goal guide, what is it now? Like, how has it, the experience that you had, that coaching, and you transform that into your business, into what you offer now to help others kind of find that for themselves. So if you can kind of elaborate a little bit on what, like, how does someone get started? What kinds of individuals do you help? Are they like individual contributors? Are they managers? Are they in a specific vertical? What kind of sales, if it's just sales, or is it like, you know, kind of give me an idea of where you start and where you stop.
Yeah, for sure. So I work with excited, growth-minded entrepreneurs and salespeople. That's it. Okay. If you're in a profession of selling and you're excited and want to get to that next level, chances are you're the guy for me or the woman for me, and I'm the guy for you.
I love it.
If you're an entrepreneur who's excited about growing their business, you have a vision, maybe you're not very clear at it, maybe you don't know every step you need to take, or you don't know the next steps and you're stuck, or you've reached your ceiling and there's some things you're not thinking about, I'm the guy that's going to come in and point some things out to you, take you by your hand and guide you to where you want to go. There are a few different ways we do this. One, there's corporate trainings where we provide trainings on sales, communications, and leadership. Life and executive coaching, where I help people understand what program is running them, keep what's serving them, and remove what's no longer serving them. I'll give you an example. You have sales professionals who listen to the show.
Yep.
When we grow up, one thing that most kids are taught is never talk to strangers.
Yeah.
It's programmed into us as little kids. Don't go talk to strangers.
Yep.
You get out of college, you get your sales job. What's the first thing you got to go do?
100%.
Go talk to strangers. But when did you unprogram yourself from the old programming? And so why do people not like cold calling? Have you ever thought of that? Like, why do people not like knocking on doors?
Yep.
Deep inside is because you have this program running that, hey, you got to go talk to strangers. Yeah. Stranger danger. How many people have heard that one before, right? Well, we got to reprogram that. And along with that, there are beliefs about money. There are beliefs that your parents, you were a three-year-old playing with Legos or a toy when your parents were at the dinner table, potentially not knowing how they're going to make the next payment.
Yep.
Potentially talking about, somebody who's wealthy and who's a crook. I grew up in communist Russia, dude. Like, do you understand? When I started the Goal Guide, I got incorporated. My mom just happened to come over that day to babysit the kids. Mm-hmm. She used to come over every Tuesday. And I come home and I'm like, Mom, you're not going to believe what I did. I started my own business today. And she kind of looked at me with a smile on her face. And she's like, oh, that's nice. How much are they going to be paying you? That was the question she had. So these are the people that programmed me.
Yeah.
They don't have a concept of running their business. The question is, who programmed you? How many of us know why we think what we think, why we believe what we believe? Chances are 99.9% of the things we believe and the reasons we act a certain way was programmed to us by somebody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't our own decision. So I help you figure that out, replace it with stuff that's actually going to help you, and then have you move forward.
Oh, I love it.
That's what we do.
I love it. Do these folks, like, do you meet with them once a week? Can you kind of describe the program? How long is it?
One-on-one coaching. I have 10 session, 20 session, and 40 session plans for one-on-ones. And then I have a group called Relentless Goal Achievers. That's kind of the entry level, right? It's $97 a month. in there, we have two coaching calls every week. It's a group call where I just open up Zoom and people who need it hop in.
Okay.
And then every Wednesday at noon, we do, like this year, we're doing book studies through the lens of entrepreneurship. So right now, we're this week is chapter 8 on Think and Grow Rich through the lens of entrepreneurship and sales.
Yeah.
And it's wild if you've never studied that book. Then we're going to go to Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, The Compound Effect, The One Thing, and we're going to finish it off with The Greatest Salesman in the World. So I have that as like book studies this whole year. The whole goal is to get people to think differently so that they can achieve their goals. And I want it to be available to the masses at a lower price point so that anybody can afford a coach, because I really believe in coaching.
And I love it. The passion, like I can feel the passion. We're obviously doing this remote and via Zoom as we record this, but I can feel the passion coming through your voice, and I love it. Do you have any kind of just for the conversation today, actually, any lessons, kind of things that you see that are common mistakes that sales folks make? So what you're getting at is around mindset, kind of reprogramming ourselves to try and overcome some of the hurdles that have been holding us back. But even maybe beyond mindset, maybe within mindset, like what are some of the, based on your travels, what are some of the common mistakes that those reps, young, mid-level, middle of their career cycle, what are they still making that you're like, this is kind of the big one to get over?
There are so many of them. Number one starts off with saying no for somebody. So like the rep will make up their own mind that if they make a call, it's going to bother the other person.
Yep.
So, you shouldn't call people on Mondays because, Mondays people are just coming into the office and, they probably have meetings. They're busy. They don't need to see me. You shouldn't call people at the end of the month because, end of the month, they're busy. And
yep.
And so we say no for people before we even give them an opportunity to say no to us. What I recommend is give people a chance to say no to you.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. That's great.
That's mistake number one. Number two, I think as sales professionals, most of us are very optimistic at heart. And so we believe, we confuse rapport with commonality. So back in the day, I think I've taken, I don't know if it was Sandler training or something as a new rep. I left the Marine Corps in 2007 and had zero sales experience and started selling copiers in Baltimore, just so you know, like kind of my history.
Oh, wow.
And so I started getting into, back then, Jeffrey Gittimer books and Sandler training and Dale Carnegie training, and it was really good stuff. But back then, I remember sitting in like a sales training, and the guy says, listen, if you walk into a client's office or a prospect's office and you see that they're standing there, there's a picture of them and holding up a fish, start talking to them about fishing.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to build rapport with them, because then they'll like you because you are like them.
Yep.
And nothing can be further from the truth. That's trying to build commonality. Like, you'll have time to like each other after you've closed the deal.
Yeah.
And what I try to teach salespeople is like, think of a lawyer or a doctor.
Okay.
When you schedule time with an attorney or with a doctor, because some of your listeners may have not have sat down with an attorney, but everybody visited a doctor.
Yeah. Yep.
That doctor is not asking you questions about your weekend, your fishing trip. None of that. He's like, what brings you in today? He's checking out your history and he's trying to diagnose your pain so that he can alleviate your pain.
Yep.
That's it. That's all we got to do. And how do you build rapport with the doctor? If they've asked you enough questions, if you feel like they understand your pain, and if you feel like what they're recommending is in your best interest, you're going to be like, yeah, this guy's great.
Yeah.
Not if they asked you about fishing. Or like, hey, so I noticed you have a BMW keychain. So you should, I drive a BMW too. And you're like, oh, wow, now I like you more like as a doctor because you like to drive a BMW. It's silly. It's silly. It doesn't work. So that's another thing. The third thing I would say is getting the 4 seconds of your talk track correctly is probably one of the biggest keys you can find. And what you say and how you say it is extremely, extremely important. So I'll give you like a little NLP type of training for you guys. Yeah. This is free stuff, guys. You're going to love it. Write this down. Okay. As people, we want to be right. Mm-hmm. Innately, we want to be right. Yeah. Right. So like if I was to say, if we were sitting in a group and I'm like, what was your very first car that you drove? Chances are a bunch of people will raise their hands because they want to tell me the answer to the very first car that they drove.
Yep.
And because I just asked you that question, chances are many of you who are listening just got a picture of your very first car that you ever drove.
Yeah, I did too. Mine was an Oldsmobile Omega in 1983.
There you go. Now, before I asked you that, you weren't thinking about the Oldsmobile Omega that was in 1983,
Not at all.
No, but that question took you right there. So just understand the power you have with questions. But it's not what you say that makes it a question. It's how you say it that makes it a question. Mm-hmm. It's the tonality of it. So what do most salespeople do? Like we've conditioned the population and yourself included, right? Picture yourself, you're coming home at 7 p.m., you're sitting down to eat dinner and a phone rings and it's a 1-800 number. You decide to pick it up because you're a nice person. And on the other line, it's like, hi, Deep, this is Amy with ABC Company. How are you mm-hmm. today? What's going on in your mind?
I'm like, I got to get off the phone. I got other things to do.
Amy could be calling to tell you that you just won $1 million and you don't want to hear it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're conditioned because that's what Amy says. This is who she is, where she's calling from, and how are you doing today?
Yep.
And how many of you guys who are listening to this make calls like that? Hey, John, this is Eric with ABC Company. How's it going today? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. What the hell do you want? Right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what's going on. So instead of that, get your 4 seconds right. People don't have you got to remember the quote from Fast and the Furious. I live my life a quarter mile at a time. You got to live your sales talk track 4 seconds at a time here. Right? So the first 4 seconds is it's not hi, Deep. This is Eric. It's hey, Deep. This is Eric. With the goal guide, how's it going today? I just said 4 things, same way, same thing. I said it differently.
Same words.
And I'm looking at you. I know we're not on video, but we're Deep and I are here on Zoom talking. Your eyebrows kind of went up like you're searching for an answer.
Yeah.
In coaching, I know when someone's searching for an answer when they look up to the right or to the left.
Yep.
Right. So I ask a question, boom, they're kind of. And that's exactly what you were doing is I was saying, hi, Deep, this is Eric. I'm asking you if this is, and you're like, is he asking me? Am I supposed to know? And it's like a little mind kind of trick that takes him off of, oh, this is another salesperson calling and gives you the right to then say something or ask another question that brings them in.
That's great. That's
and the best thing to say after that, by the way, is you lower your tone and now you do like a secretive man and you say, now, Deep, the reason for the call, right? You bring them back down. You're like, oh, there's a reason for the call. Now I want to hear this because you've said it quieter, right? So there's this whole production going on in the first 5 seconds.
It's a performance.
It's a performance. Every time. It is a performance.
That's all money. Really good guidance. Hopefully you guys did take some notes.
You can rewind. It's recorded.
Yeah. Play it back in slower speed. Mm-hmm. It's most of us actually play our stuff back in, quarter advanced, quarter fast, whatever, 50% faster. That one you want to rewind and slow it down. Is there anything? So as we kind of come to the close for this, Eric, is there any kind of guidance, anything that we didn't cover that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, who you're being, who you're showing up as is going to be the most important thing. All of us have heard that sales is a transfer of emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've all heard it. I've heard it a bunch of times. Sales is a transfer of emotion, but nobody tells you what emotion to transfer.
Yes.
Right? We just blindly start believing it. Well, sales is a transfer of emotion. Okay, yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
What emotion though? What am I trying to convey here? And the emotion you want to convey is certainty. And the certainty that you're conveying, I call this four corners. It's in four different things. Number one, they have to be certain that your company is the right company that's going to kind of back up your product or service when something goes wrong. Number two, your product or service is the right product or service for them. Number three is that you're the right salesperson for them. Trust me, if they like your company, like the product, don't like you, they're not buying from you. They'll ask for a different rep. And number four is your offer the right offer for them? Right. So those four things, you have to convey certainty in them. But you cannot give what you do not have. And so before you go out trying to convey certainty, you have to show up and be certain that all those four things are true.
Yeah.
You have to be certain.
And be willing to walk. Like, I remember another kind of time in my career in sales, I actually, like, there were our competitors, which I know because I had worked with a competitor that I was pitching against, was pitching basically, you know, they were unethical or just kind of pitching lies. And so they were saying things that they could not deliver on. And then the customer is telling me that they're getting pitched, you know, the value and services of a competitor that I personally knew that they couldn't deliver on. But at that point I was like, look, I don't believe, and I was being candid, I don't believe that they're delivering, that they can deliver on what they're promising you. But I encourage you to go kind of, you know, eke it out and like peel back the onion. Hopefully they can deliver on it. If they don't, you know, I'll touch base with you in about a month, because the execution period for that moment was about a month. I'll touch base back with you in like 3 weeks to a month. And, you know, hopefully you'll tell me everything's good. But if it isn't, then let me know, because then we can actually deliver on what I'm promising. So in that certainty period, that does require you to be willing to kind of walk away from a deal, because you're certain that either you can deliver it or you're also certain that you cannot deliver it.
So what happened with that deal? Did they end up?
So they came back. They came back. Yeah, that deal, they came back. And it was my largest account. It was DirecTV for AT&T. This was before the acquisition, before they acquired DirecTV years back. And that turned out to be a $150,000 a month account for me.
Freaking awesome, man. So, it doesn't get better than that, right?
Yeah, it was great.
The other thing I would suggest that people do is learn the principles of influence. So I'm certified through Dr. Robert Cialdini to teach those principles. I have an 8-week program that I work with people through, and that includes a full online kind of program taught by Dr. Cialdini himself.
Mm-hmm.
There are principles of influence that certain things you say in the order that you say them can get you different results. So, for example, Deep, when you shared this story with me, there's a way. Your product's not perfect. You know that, your client knows that, and everything else, right? But what most salespeople will do is they'll try to highlight the good stuff.
Yeah.
And negate the bad stuff. That does not build trust.
Correct.
Because the client still looks at you as a salesperson and knows that you're just highlighting the good stuff.
Yeah.
Now imagine you being the salesperson and you say something along the lines of, "Hey, Mr. Customer, the biggest complaint about us is that," and you tell them the complaint.
Yep.
"Is that our product does this or doesn't do this." And then you say, "But," and the word "but" negates everything you just said. Everybody knows that, but subconsciously. Then you say, "But we're really amazing at boom, 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 boom."
Mm-hmm.
And what the client hears is, "Wow, I did some research and that's exactly what people are saying online about their product. That's not really that important to me. But the fact that this guy, the fact that Deep told me that as the sales rep, he's trustworthy."
Yes.
And this is all happening in the subconscious mind.
Yes.
You've just built trust. And there are 8 principles similar to this that you can instantly build trust if you apply them. So your job is to go seek out these principles so that you have them in your toolbox, right? And if you guys need help with that, just reach out to me. I'm happy to help.
No, that's great. Actually, that reminds me of I'm going to tell another quick kind of anecdote. I was, because I came up from the engineering side through sales engineering. And I remember that I was the trusted resource in the room, right, as a sales engineer. And then I made that kind of across the chasm to be the sales rep, the account exec carrying the bag. And nobody trusted me. And I had to, like that movie, A Few Good Men, where they brought the airman in the back, right where he was like, you know, right where Jack Nicholson was like, "You can't handle the truth." But those guys were just for show. Like, they didn't, if you remember, if anybody's watched the movie, A Few Good Men, the airman that came in the back of the courtroom, were kind of just for show. They actually didn't, you know, it was kind of a bluff to some extent. But I've realized, I had realized as a sales exec, even though I had the technical chops to speak truth and hold my own on the technical side, nobody believed me. They thought I was literally like the sleazy used car sales guy. And so I did bring a sales engineer in who at the time, early in my sales career, was not as technically savvy as I was, even though I was the one, the sales guy. So he would literally be my two airmen in the back of the room. I would say, I would make a statement and my engineer would nod and say, yeah, exactly. And then I would just continue. So
that was smart. Yeah. Use your resources around you. Absolutely.
So it was quite entertaining and quite fun looking back on it. All right. Well, how do people get in touch with you, Eric?
Yeah, you can just LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, name it. I'm there. Or email me, eric@thegoalguide.com.
I love it.
It's pretty simple.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me today. Wish you the best with the Goal Guide. And if you ever need anything, please let me know. And to everyone listening, thank you guys so much yet again. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Thanks for having me, brother. Good luck, everybody.
Be sure to check us out at www.excellegy.com.